The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. So, we had Eamon Ryan on the programme yesterday, and it did raise the question afterwards, is it going to become too expensive to drive cars in urban areas? We have Shane O'Donoghue with us first, editor of CompleteCar.ie. And the reason I'm asking the question, Shane, is you already pay a lot of money to buy a car. You pay a lot of money to fuel it. You have to insure it. You have to maintain it. But if you then actually have congestion charges to go into areas of a city, or if you have special taxes where polluter pays principal on taxation, and if you have higher parking fees to park a car and removal of on-street parking, are we going to reach a stage where it won't be worth having a car in urban Ireland?
Good evening, Pat. Sorry, Matt. I see where you're getting, where you're going with that, but actually I would argue it is, while it's unbelievably going to get more expensive again, on top of everything you just listed, there isn't another option for a lot of people, and that's the what is at the core of this. And Eamon Ryan starts by saying it's not an anti-car thing, but it isn't, but it's an anti-motorist thing, an anti-commuter thing. You know, people aren't spending hours in cars, aren't in gridlock on the Keys and Dublin and Patrick Street and Cork, and when they have, if they had any other choice, people would use public transport if it was good enough, would use active travel if they could do it or if it was suitable. I just don't believe we're going about this the right way. It's going to get more expensive for motoring. And the motorists that don't have any other option or don't feel they have another option will just pay that money, and that money will come out of the rest of their life. So they'll maybe have an older car or a less safe car, or, you know, they'll put less money into groceries or kids' activities or something. It's an extra cost, but I don't think it's going to stop people driving.
Which is supposedly the objective, though, isn't it?
It is, and you know, and I think the aims of it, to get to reduce gridlock, to get cars out of cities, make cities for people, 100% I am behind that, and everybody should be. The issue is, it's cart before the horse situation here. It's a stick and carrot situation where there isn't an alternative. There isn't a proper, viable alternative. Public transport is not fit for purpose in Ireland. I've been saying this for a long time. And it's not just in rural communities where it's nowhere to be found. Even in our cities, it's just not good enough.
But is there not also an issue, when you mention congestion, that a lot of the buses in particular get caught up in the congestion? So what you have to do is remove the cars to make the buses move faster through the congestion. I'm just thinking here, in Today FM, we're based in Marconi House, which is very near to Stephen's Green, very close to a major bus artery coming down Anger Street, and you go up Camden Street or whatever, and often the traffic is absolutely jammed there. The buses can't get through, but the reason the buses can't get through is because of the cars. So if you make it more expensive for the cars to be there, they won't be there, and then the buses will get through more quickly and people are more likely to get the buses. Would that work?
I've heard that argument as well, and there is probably some merit in it, or perhaps certainly some merit in redesigning the flow of the city, which hopefully we will see happen. But it isn't just that. I mean, I even just this week myself, I was doing a short journey, a bus journey in the middle of the city in Dublin, and it was the middle of the day, traffic was really light, and yet somehow a journey that would take 10 minutes in a bus or a car, I end up waiting for 45 minutes for a bus. And this isn't an isolated case. I put a message up on social media about this, and loads of people came on and agreed and said the same thing. They're finding the same situation. And that cannot be blamed on congestion. Now, there are times where congestion undoubtedly has an effect on buses getting through, and that's something we need to look at.
But what you're saying is that there simply aren't enough buses available to people. But I suppose then you have to work out the demand management. Maybe there are going to be times of the day where you're not going to have many people using the buses, that the buses are going to be most popular at the times when schools are opening and workplaces are opening and shutting.
No, there's no doubt about that. But and that is a good argument for the time of the day I was using in this particular instance. However, at the bus stop I was at, by the time the bus came, there was a dozen, you know, nearly 20 people there waiting for a bus. So that demand management thing wouldn't have been a good enough excuse for it at that time. And there are other instances too, like some of the bus connects decisions. They're all designed around quick commuter routes and the buses in and out of the city. But what they're doing actually is the service in the local areas and smaller areas is much worse. And you're finding people are going back to their cars because of this. I just don't think public transport, especially the bus system, has been properly worked out yet.
And we're talking mainly about urban Ireland for the simple reason that these proposals, well, as Eamon Ryan explained yesterday, it's not just the big cities like Dublin, Cork and Limerick. This is for towns around Ireland as well. Paul Walsh is with us as well, the Chief Executive of People Insurance. And the reason we've asked Paul to join us is one of the things that has been suggested as well is that we'd have a new form of sort of variable insurance charges, because if people get to use their car less frequently, then surely they should be rewarded by lower insurance prices. But is that likely to happen?
Good afternoon, Matt. Well, it makes common sense, doesn't it? If we drive less, therefore we have less chance of being in an accident, you would think that we would pay less. Well, today, even though the market isn't very sophisticated in Ireland in terms of motor insurance, Matt, if you've got low mileage or driving low miles, that's under on average 10,000 miles a year, you'll pay 10% less than if you have high mileage, that's people in the 20,000. So there is actually a difference today, Matt, but it's not that much of a difference. So 10% on the €600 policy, it is a bit of a saving, but probably not enough to get people off the road.
That sounds like a ridiculously low discount. I mean, if you're talking about somebody driving half the amount of somebody else, surely they should be paying 50% of the insurance rather than 90%.
And that's exactly where the insurance industry, Matt, in the United States and in the UK, they've gone there. They believe the people with, they call it ultra-low mileage. This is people under 10,000 miles a year. They've brought in a program called pay-as-you-go insurance. That's where you pay a very small annual fee and then pay per kilometre that you drive after that. And that would suit quite a lot of people in Ireland, particularly people who live relatively, taking relatively short journeys.
Okay, what happens in other countries though, don't they? Because don't they use a system whereby the insurance is linked to the price of filling your tank with petrol or diesel? Would that be a good way? Because then you're directly linking the insurance cost to the consumption of petrol or diesel. Or is that actually going to be possible now in the new era of hybrid and electric cars to manage something like that?
Well, that's exactly why I think pay-as-you-go has become almost the de facto movement going forward, Matt. It's where effectively the insurer puts a small electronic box inside the car and they're getting an automatic read of the usage or consumption of the mileage from the drivers. The insurers tend to prefer that model rather than the levy on diesel or petrol. To give you a simple example today, Matt, it's actually cheaper to insure an electric car in Ireland than there is to insure a petrol or diesel car. That's because insurers really want to make themselves look pretty good in terms of their own ESG goals. So you're tending to find a skewed marketplace, a bit more difficult to do on the diesel and petrol side. So the plug-in, the telematics box inside the car seems to be the way the industry is moving.
And Shane O'Donoghue from CompleteCar.ie, the minister doubled down on the ambition to have 1 million electric vehicles on the road by 2030. Is that really going to happen? Are people going to make the investment in very expensive electric cars if they feel they're going to be restricted in how often and where they can drive them?
I think the 1 million figure is completely arbitrary anyway, and I don't believe it'll be hit by 2030. I mean, there is undoubtedly an acceleration in uptake in electric vehicles, despite all the negative media we have right this very moment. I think if we talk this time next year, we will be seeing a significant uptake. But I guess it's regardless of, again, the talk about restrictions on driving and extra costs, people are still going to be buying cars that need cars. Some people buy cars as a just completely as a luxury if they don't need them. But most people buy them because they need them, and they will continue to do so. And as more electric cars come on the market and they become more viable for more people, and the maths balance a bit more in their favour, we are definitely going to see more of them bought.
Thank you very much, Shane O'Donoghue from CompleteCar.ie. Paul Walsh, Chief Executive of People Insurance.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.